Welcome to The Inspired Culture, and I'm your host, Eric Himes. This is a show where we explore how culture shapes the workplaces, our communities, and our lives. Today, I'm joined by a powerhouse voice in leadership and workplace culture, Risha Grant. Risha is an award-winning entrepreneur, best-selling author, and keynote speaker who has helped global companies like Google, Procter & Gamble, YouTube, T-Mobile transform their culture. Her book, Be Better Than Your BS, has been featured in Forbes, Fast Company, Vogue Business, and Harvard Business Review. And she's been named one of the top 10 most powerful women leaders in HR. Our first conversation is about one of the heaviest burdens people carry at work, the feeling that they can't truly be themselves. Too many people put on a mask to fit in, and it drains their energy, joy, and authenticity. Today, we'll dig into why this happens, the toll it takes, and how leaders and employees alike can foster a culture where everyone belongs as their authentic selves. Risha, I'm so glad to have you here, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Eric. I am so excited to be here. I love to talk about culture, so I'm looking forward to this.
Me too. It is like my favorite topic. So it's such an honor to have you and grateful. And so some of the people listening in want to know a few things, and you are the expert that can give us some great advice here. So many employees feel unsafe showing up as their authentic selves over time. This leads to exhaustion, loss of creativity, and even health issues. Leaders and teams must actively create space that's safe for authenticity. So why do so many people feel the need to hide parts of themselves just to be accepted at work, Risha?
Simply that, they know they won't be accepted. I mean, the world has taught us over and over and over again that if we don't conform to the norm, then we won't be accepted. And I mean, this starts when we put our kids in school. You know, from the first time they go to school and they're different in any way, they feel left out. They feel isolated. And the same thing happens at our big ages that we are when we go to work. You know, if you don't conform to the norm, you know that that it is something that makes other people feel uncomfortable. And when other people get uncomfortable, they start to make you feel uncomfortable. So it's tough to just be who you are. That's, I mean, in as simple as it can get, we don't allow people to authentically show up as who they are.
Yeah, the risk is pretty big, right?
Yeah, it's huge.
You know, and organizations, gosh, I love this subject so much. You know, it's been like bred into organizational culture so many years ago. And it's just carried over from generation to generation. And, you know, the leadership and the culture is taught from the past generation. And so it's caught by future leaders coming into the organization saying, this is what I need to go to the next level and go to the next level. But what we're losing is who we were made to be all along, in our own authentic selves. So tell me a little bit about that. You know, what does it take, like, for an individual today, and why is it so important to show up as yourself within the culture in the organizations that people work for?
It takes a lot of courage. It takes so much courage because, again, I hate the word normal. Let me just say that. And I hate it because the people that came up with it didn't ask the rest of the world, the rest of the people in the world, what it meant to them. Right. So there are a lot of things that just don't fit into the box that everybody wants to put you in. And that can be your race. That can be your size. That can be your gender. You know, it can be your sexual orientation or how you identify as far as gender identity. I mean, it can be the clothes you wear. You know, I mean, there are so many things that take us outside the box that people want to put us in that it takes a lot of courage to be authentic. And even when we are, when we do have that courage, you know, there's always somebody who does something to let you know that it's not okay. And I think it causes isolation. I mean, when you look at a lot of things going on in the world and we have these horrible mass shootings in all of these places, and you get to dig into who that person was. One of the biggest things is isolation. It always seems to be this person was a loner, you know, all of these things. And belonging is super important. You want to be able to belong. It's a basic need that we all have. And so when we never feel like we fit in anywhere, it makes it difficult. And I mean, you don't have to. I think what happens is that people think, oh, this person is in this lifestyle, and if I accept them, then I agree with this lifestyle. It doesn't mean that at all. You can still be kind. You can still say hello. You can still smile at a person and go on about your day and make that person feel seen without buying into or believing in everything that they believe in.
Absolutely. You know, and that's working on developing a relationship, right?
Yes.
You don't have to agree with everything somebody else says to be in relationship with them and have a community.
Exactly.
You know, you can open yourself up, take a step back, and try to see other people's viewpoints. And, you know, everybody's gifted with something, and everybody mm-hmm. has a unique presence that they offer, an organization,
right.
a household, a family, all of it. But when that gets stripped away because of the cultures that are out there today saying, no, this is what you need to look like in this role, in this position, in this family,
exactly.
you lose your ability to be authentic. And I love the work that you do, and it speaks to my heart deeply, because we do similar but different work from, we do the 50 Masks of Leadership as one of our vulnerability processes that we use, and it's helped leaders take away and take off their masks and show up as
yes.
their real selves, because they have to start so then other people can do the same. And so
true.
It's so exciting having you here, because I feel like we connect on that so much.
Yeah, for sure. And you use the word vulnerability. I think that's the biggest thing that a leader can show is the vulnerability of saying, I have no idea. I don't know, but I'll figure it out with you. We'll figure it out and make it work. Or, you know, just that communication or that comfort of being able to say, I don't know. It's transparent, it's vulnerable, and it lets people know that you're human. It humanizes the fact that we can't know everything, but I can be interested enough and I can care enough to find the answer out for you or with you.
Absolutely. Have you had an experience that you want to share with us about having to feel like you're showing up in a box that you didn't belong in, but people tried to put
sure.
you there?
My very existence is is that. I mean, I'm a woman. I'm a Black woman. I'm a bisexual Black woman. I'm from a small town. I have a country twang that I thought I had gotten rid of until I started doing TV, right? And I can hear all of it. But there are so many things that put me in a space of being othered. And it's probably why I got into the work that I got into. I've been in the DEI space for 27 years, and we all know what's happening within that space now. So it is, even that's been a little bit of an identity crisis. But what I've learned about that is these 27 years really has not been about DEI. It's been about people,
mm-hmm.
and it's been about all people. And so in the space that I'm in, I grew up in Oklahoma. I still live in Oklahoma. We're not known for being diverse. Even though we are a very diverse state, that's not something that people would take away from it. We're a very conservative state when you look at our politics and just look at Oklahoma overall. So someone like me always feels like, you know, you don't fit, so you try to conform into the box, right? I wanna speak the right way. I wanna wear my hair the right way. I wanna dress the correct way. Well, what does all of that look like? And so for me, being put in that box, I lived in that box for a lot of years. And I realized when I was trying to build this business, I started the first DEI communications and consulting firm in the state of Oklahoma. I was going through all this stuff. I was not happy. I was lying to me. You know, I'm lying to all these other people, but most important person was that I was lying to me. So I was unhappy, and my business still wasn't taking off. So finally I just said, you know what, if I'm going out, if I'm going to lose it, I'm going to lose it being me. And that's what I started to do. And what I found was that was more of a strength than it was a liability. And so I completely embraced it, because at that point, you know, as an entrepreneur, you go through those years, those struggle years, and I was already struggling. I was already broke. I was already all the stuff. So I didn't have that far to drop at that point. So I was able to do it and see what it really was. And it helped me to dive deeper into my work. So that's kind of how I went from that to being the people's champ. Like, I just want to cheer. I want to cheer everybody on. I want everybody to know that it is okay to be who you are. And even if your tribe is not at the company that you're at, you'll find that place where you're accepted and where people care for you just because of who you are.
Yeah. And let's go win, right? Let's win.
Yeah. Let's go win. That's the thing.
Let's win in who we are.
Yes, because I think companies don't understand that when people wear this whole suit of armor, because they got to deflect all the BS you're throwing at them, how are they supposed to actually do the work that you hired them to do? How are they supposed to be creative and strategic and figuring out problems, right? Do all of these things when they're just trying to make sure that they don't do or say something or wear something that makes someone else uncomfortable. It's unrealistic. You can't get the best out of your employees that way.
Yeah, no, not at all. And we're going to head to a commercial break here in a second, Richa. But before we do, I just want to say, you found your real strength when you showed up as who you're supposed to be. And so exactly. I love that you came to the end of your fake self to be your real self. And then that's when your business took off. Because that's where you had the strength, the energy, the courage to see it through, because it was you doing it, not somebody else you were trying to be doing it. And so just that's an honor, proud of you for leaning into that and really taking your organization from the ground up at that point. But you know, the thing that came out of it was we had to come to the end of our fake self to show up as a real self. And that's where everything begins, right? And that's where we can lean in and step confidently into our purpose. And so I love you sharing that.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to share it.
You bet. All right. We'll be right back, Richa, for a break.
We'll be right back.
Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to the Inspired Culture and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, you can also catch the podcast version right from our website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are.
We're back with more on the Inspired Culture.
I'm here with Richa Grant. And in this segment, we're tackling one of the deepest human needs, belonging, at work, in our communities, even in our families. We all want to know we matter and that we're included, yet too often people feel invisible or left out. Let's talk about why belonging is so powerful and what leaders and teammates can do to create it. So our topic of discussion for this segment is belonging is a core human need, but workplaces often overlook it. Without it, people disengage, feel lonely, and underperform. Leaders and peers alike can build belonging through small, intentional actions. Richa, why is belonging such a powerful human need, and why does it matter so much in a workplace culture?
Again, I think it goes all the way back, first of all, to Maslow's hierarchy, right? Belonging is one of those things. It's a basic human need that we all have. And I think it's just super important. I mean, everybody wants to belong to something, or they want to belong to someone. And in when you bring that back to our work culture, you know, we want to belong in our teams. We want to feel like we're contributing. I know that we all know some people who go to work to just blow it off and get a paycheck, but most people are actually there to contribute the thing that they were hired to do. And if we don't ever make them a part of the team, like, we never pass them the ball. I use a lot of basketball analogies. I'm a big sports fan, big basketball person. And so forgive me for that up front. But if you never pass the ball to that person, if you never allow them to take the shot, they feel as if they don't belong. They feel as if they don't have anything to offer, even when they do. And I think sometimes as a leader, it's up to us to pull it out. Sometimes it's just asking a question of that person because you realize that they never say anything in a meeting. You know, it doesn't take a lot to be able to take the time to quickly say, hey, Eric, that was a great idea that we talked about earlier. Do you mind sharing it with the group or can I share it with the group? That brings people into whatever the discussion is.
No, that is so good. And, you know, perspective, a lot of people have a lot of things they see. And creating the space for everybody is so important to do that. Otherwise, you know, we're not inclusive. And we also don't give people the chance to have a voice in the organization. And that, I would agree with you, definitely falls on leadership shoulders and responsibility to create that type of environment. You know, certainly. So what are some signs that a person on a team might be feeling left out or invisible? What should we be looking for to identify this?
You know, I think the first thing we should look for is silence. You know, we all have those meetings that we go to and the same people talk constantly in those meetings. Now, there's something to be said for being an extrovert versus an introvert and all of those things. But to the point that I just made earlier, recognizing that someone is always silent and asking them to speak, you know, to an introvert, then maybe that is scary. And that's why I said, maybe would you allow me to share what you said earlier? You know, asking first and then following it up with another option. And I know I get it from the standpoint of being in leadership and having people on the team and you're just like, man, I need you to speak up. You know, I don't want to act like that's not something that may be frustrating. But at the same time, if you know how everybody on your team operates, you can create a culture of winning because you already understand that this person doesn't speak up a lot. This person doesn't like to speak out. This person is not great at giving credit when credit is due, right? So everybody kind of knows, you know your team. And I think that's one of the biggest things with leadership is, especially in a large corporation, is I don't have time to know my team. And I always encourage every client, I don't care if it's 15 minutes and I don't care if it takes you a year, sit down and try to find out some key things about how people operate, what this person needs to succeed. Because if you can figure out what they need to succeed, it's going to help you succeed as the leader of that team.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, that is so important to pull that out. And, you know, it takes a lot of humility as the leader to create that space for everybody to want to participate. And one of the questions that comes to mind when you're, you know, sharing that is the leader asking, what am I missing? Like, you know, and I need to know because I know I am missing stuff because it creates a safe environment for people to provide feedback. And especially from those that are timid from already sharing anything, you know, and they're the ones most likely that see the gap, right? Because everybody else is focusing on participating and they're the ones taking in the information saying, well, we may have a gap here, here, and here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think there are so many ways that you can allow people to give you feedback that's just not outright discussion, right? There are so many surveys and there are so many platforms now that allow you to anonymously give feedback on things. I use a system called Mentimeter when I'm speaking. And it was great when COVID hit in 2020 and I had to transition to virtual speaking. DEI is a very touchy subject and it can be a tough one for a lot of people to talk about, to embrace, to even hear. And so using Mentimeter allowed me to allow the audience to give me their real thoughts, you know, anonymously. And it was great. And I think, and I encourage companies to use it all the time because I'm like, you know, it can be difficult to share your thoughts, share your visions, and to make sure that you feel like I don't sound stupid. I mean, that's something that I still deal with, you know, with all the experience that I have, I force myself to speak up. I realize that some people can't force themselves to speak up, but if you have a meeting with the entire team, you can pull up something like Mentimeter and say, hey, here's the question. Those of you that want to talk, talk. Those of you who don't, you can type it in. It's going to come up and we'll talk about it that way.
What a great tool. So I think,
yeah. It's all about learning styles. I remember learning about that early, my early years of running my business. And I thought, man, if that had been out when I was in school, you know, what would that have done for me if a teacher had taken the time to figure out the best way that I could learn? And so I try to take that into the cultures that that I'm working with. What is the best way that everybody learns, and how can we pull the best out of each person? Because, you know, a coach can make the best team the worst team, or the worst team the best team. So that's the way I look at it.
Isn't that the truth? And then it's the right coach in the right season with the right team, right? You know.
Yes, I love that. Yeah. I always think about the Bad News Bears. I don't know if you remember that. I know I'm aging myself here, but.
Yeah.
But that movie was, yeah, it was like the worst team ever. But because they cared about each other, because the coach cared, they were able to become a winning team. And you see that all the time.
You know, it was like the 2005 White Sox when they won the World Series. You know, yes. Ozzie Guillen comes in, you know, managing and leading one of the youngest teams in baseball. And yeah. Yet, you know, he was the right leader to pull the young minds together to go win the World Series.
That's what it takes.
So I love that. Well, hey, we're going to run to a break, Risha. This is great. And I look forward to connecting with you on our next segment here in a moment.
We'll be right back.
Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to the Inspired Culture and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, you can also catch the podcast version right from our website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are.
We're back with more on the Inspired Culture.
Welcome back to the Inspired Culture. We've been talking with Risha Grant about authenticity and belonging. And now we're turning inward. Every one of us has personal culture, the values, habits, and beliefs shaping how we live and lead. Too often we ignore it and end up running on autopilot. Today, Risha will help us understand why personal culture matters and how to discover it before burnout takes over. When people ignore their personal culture, they risk losing clarity and purpose by identifying their values and strengths. Leaders and employees can align their choices with what truly matters, creating sustainability and resilience. Risha, what does personal culture really mean, and why is it such a powerful force in how we lead and live?
Here's the thing. Personal culture or organizational culture, company culture cannot exist if we don't work on our personal culture. You can have the best culture in the world. You can have the best policies and procedures in the world. But if we don't show up as people, as better people, people who care, then it will always crumble, right? It will always crumble. So personal culture to me is the energy or the vibe that we bring into the room and the impact we create when we leave. So when we walk in the room, do people want to talk to us? Are they drawn to us? Do we have things to say that inspire our team? Or are we saying things that are making our teams feel horrible, that are making them withdraw into themselves? You know, you want to leave the room and people say, wow, that was so great. I'm ready to tackle this thing. Let's do it. You know, let's build this team culture that's going to allow us to meet this goal. So when I think about personal culture, it's my values. It's who am I as a person and who do I want to be known as? So how do I want to show up for myself and how do I want to show up for others? I think that without it, we hurt the whole team.
So how does somebody find it?
I think there are a variety of ways. I think first and foremost, one of the things I talk about in my book is our biosphere. And our biosphere consists of our family, our friends, the schools that we attended, the government we live under, the media we consume, all these things that shape how we view the world and the people in it. So typically, it's what gives us all of the things that we think about each other. we have to be willing to unlearn a lot of that stuff. Mm. So the work is really internal, you know, things, because it's difficult when you, we go to schools and we listen to our families and our friends. And a lot of times we don't question these things because these are people that we love, people that we trust, institutions that we trust. And instead of learning it for ourselves or experiencing it for ourselves, we're passing on things that may not be good to pass on. So it's an internal commitment. How do we get there? It's an internal commitment to say, I want to be better. So that starts with me, because we want to control all of these things. We want to control our bosses and our offices and the government and all these things. But the one thing you can truly control is yourself. So how do I figure out what I believe for myself? What belief system makes sense to me? So personally, I do want to be someone who inspires people. I want to be someone that makes everybody feel as if they are welcomed, as if they are accepted. I want to hear their thoughts. I want to hear their opinions. And so I hope that when I leave the room, I've inspired people to want to be better in some way. And so I think you have to first care about that. And then once you care about it, you have to go do the work. You have to figure out what is it that I know about the world? What is it that I know about this group of people? Is that thing true that I know about this group of people? Why do I feel uncomfortable when I'm in the room with this person, you know? And when you really dig back into it, typically it's something you learn from your parents or something you learn from your family or your friends that you've never questioned before. But when you really look into it, it doesn't make a lot of sense, you know, and you miss out on some really cool people, on getting to know people simply because you're uncomfortable for some reason, instead of meeting that discomfort head on. And I truly believe that when we sit in discomfort, that's where growth occurs. And we all have to want to grow. If you don't want it, then you're not going to get it. It's that simple. So I always try to look for ways to unlearn. I look for ways to then relearn and take away the things that that don't make sense, you know, quite honestly.
Well, and, you know, and everybody thinks about growing as learning, but it's also mm-hmm. unlearning. And,
yes.
you know, and that is hard. Learning is a little bit easier because it's something you're interested in. Exactly. Unlearning is habits of who you already become, right?
Yes.
And so those habits, yes. the character, the individual that you are, that's a challenge. That's the hardest thing, right? The unlearning process, I think, is harder than the learning because you don't even know you're doing it half the time. You're just going through the process. You're making all these decisions based on all of the years of life that you've lived and all of the, the mainline, you know, media call it, or life experience that you've had to say, this is how I show up on a daily basis. Right. That's just been molded in and over time. Right. And, what is it? 26, I want to say, is when the sponge stops absorbing. You know, we stop, you know, we become who we are at that age. And so people later in life, you know, have to relearn and unlearn things at 40 and 50 years of age. You know, that's a big commitment to tackle. I absolutely agree with you, though. We have to unlearn what we've been told, because what we've been told isn't necessarily right.
It's not. And I think what's important to mention here is that a lot of that is not... I believe that people feel bad about it, you know, and they say, you know, well, my parents are great people and all these things. I think my parents are great people too. I think my grandmother was the best grandma in this world. But in the time that she grew up in the things that she experienced, she taught me some things that created biases in me toward other people. Mm-hmm. Now, knowing the woman that she was, she would not have wanted to do that, knowingly, consciously do that. But when you experience some of those things, you know, she wants to make sure also that her kids and her grandkids are okay. So we teach out of fear, or we teach out of our experience.
Pain and
trauma. Yes, yes. Instead of, you can tell a story to someone to make sure that they're safe, but also make sure that they understand the other side of it. You know, when I look at the world, I have a 17-year-old nephew who is a young Black boy in America that's in it, and it scares me sometimes. And so when I'm trying to teach him something or we're having a conversation, I have to be clear and how I'm talking to him so that I don't help him form biases that I don't want him to have and that I don't want him to have to deal with later. So, but you have to be conscious of it. You have to be willing to do the work. And it is work. I mean, because, man, it's easy to just go with the flow to say, yep, you know, he needs to watch out for all of this because every person that wears a uniform is going to hate him. Well, that's not true.
That's right.
That's not true at all. You know, but it's easy to fall into it. So you have to be aware of yourself, aware of how you believe, and go and unlearn the stuff that doesn't need to be there.
Yeah. A question that comes up for me when you say that, you know, who am I judging and why?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And where did this come from? Yes. And was this of me or was this of what I've been taught?
Exactly.
And I need to reflect on that. I need to look at it. Need to understand where it came from. And then what am I going to do with it? Is it true?
Exactly.
Or is it something that I need to let go of because it's really not mine to own to begin with?
Right.
And, you know, we can't keep what we don't give. And so what do we have to let go of, you know, so we can continue to grow? And so when
I love that. I love that.
Those lenses, right? We can put on, I'm wearing glasses right now. by the way, it's my second pair today. I broke a pair earlier. You know, and this is an intense interview. I'm kidding. But you should have seen the other guy in the room. I was like, oh my gosh. But no, the reality is that we all have a set of lenses we see through. Yeah. But it doesn't mean they're always true. And
no,
really,
it does. And it may have been true for that family member, that friend. You know, that those things may have been true, but it's not your truth to carry.
That's right. And it's not the same circumstances, and it's not the same issue that took place. Or, you know, because a lot of times what I hear is pain when we form a bias, right? It's a self-protection mechanism because something happened that made us feel really uncomfortable or was very hurtful. But yet, because that was of one person, not a group of people.
That's what I was just getting ready to say. That is exactly what happens. One person hurts us from whatever group they're in, and then we treat every person that looks like that person as the one who committed the offense. You know, and it's super unfair. You know, it's super unfair to do that. Even when it happens repeatedly, we still have to take every situation for that situation. Because it's so easy to group think, you know, and start saying, oh, yeah, this entire group represents this thing. Well, I mean, you couldn't be further from the truth in thinking that. We have to remember, we teach our kids what we want them to know.
That's right.
We teach them those things. And so we're teaching them from all these different experiences that we've had that still was with that one person, right? So it's how can we do a better job in making sure within our homes that we are saying things in a way that is not biased, and then the same thing within the school system and so on and so forth.
Yeah, because we really need them to pursue what their calling is and all of that. I love that you used the word teach, because we could teach or we can tell. Telling is making the decision for somebody else. Teaching gives them the opportunity to take a look inside and come away with their own opinion of the situation, right? And so I appreciate you saying that. Risha, we're going to come to a break, and we're going to be right back.
We'll be right back.
Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to the Inspired Culture and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, you can also catch the podcast version right from our website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are.
We're back with more on the Inspired Culture.
Welcome back to the Inspired Culture. Don't miss a second of this show or any of your Now Media TV favorites, streaming live and on demand whenever and wherever you want. Grab the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our lineup of bilingual programs in both English and Spanish. Prefer podcasts? Listen to the Inspired Culture anytime on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. Covering business, breaking news, lifestyle, culture, and more, Now Media TV is available 24/7, so the stories you care about are always within reach. We're closing out today's conversation with Risha Grant by talking about change, something that's inevitable in work and in life. For many, changes feel scary and destabilizing, but what if we could see it instead as an opportunity for growth and new possibilities? Today, we're going to talk about change often sparks fear, which can stifle creativity and weaken culture. By reframing change as a chance to grow, leaders and teams can approach it with courage and curiosity instead of dread. So, Risha, why do so many people see change as something to fear instead of something to embrace?
I think it still goes back to all the things that we've been talking about. Is change is just scary. You know, it's just scary because a lot of times I think we think in terms of how is this change going to affect me instead of thinking about how is this change going to affect us. And there's strength in numbers. We can figure things out together, but when we isolate as one person, you know, our brains take over and start telling us all the scary stuff that's going to happen and how it's going to hurt me and how it's going to leave me out. When together we can say, okay, this change is happening and it may not be fun, but the end goal is this. And how do we do all of the things to make sure we get to the end goal, which is better for all of us? And so I think that's why it's scary. I think we allow our brains to take over and tell us all the scary stuff that can happen. So.
Yeah. So fear, you know, we have a playbook of experience, right? All of us, you know, that have lived life. And so we have this playbook and, you know, we've either had good experiences or bad experiences, but it's easy to jump to seeing the worst of things than the best of things, I feel like, because change being good would mean to be something I haven't done yet. And yeah. So stepping out of my comfort zone into something uncomfortable, even though it might be good for me, could be scary because I don't know how to plan that environment. I know this environment, if it's healthy or not, I know it. And I know how to leverage it, play in it, be in it with people. This environment over here, I don't know. I haven't adapted yet. Haven't felt it, don't know, and not sure I want to jump into it. So I love that you talk about fear there because it's so true. And so how does fear of change hurt a team's culture, creativity, and sense of belonging?
I think it hurts it because we all take those thoughts that our brain is telling us and we run in all these different directions with it. Now, the first issue is that companies don't typically communicate very clearly when there's change, right? They don't, not only do they not communicate, they don't include the people in talking about what that change or what that process needs to be. And when people can be involved in the problem solving of whatever the change needs to be, they can own it. They're not as scared because they've been walking the road with you. So I think it's super important that we communicate clearly what is about to happen here. And I'll give you an example. I had a client that had this huge initiative, and this was in 2018. And the initiative was, we want to be 50-50 by 2020. Mm. And what that meant is we want 50% of our workforce to be minority, whether that's a person of color, whether that's LGBT, whether that's gender, all of the things. And so what was happening in the company is when it was released, it literally scared the heck out of most of the employees who were young white men. This is a technology company. And they thought instinctively, I'm going to lose my job to someone else because now they're focused on this 50-50 thing. Well, that was not the case at all. And this company had to release a document that clearly explained how they were going to get there, why they thought it was good, how it was going to help the company. And the most important thing, nobody will be hired or fired based upon diversity. That is not the way that this is working. And so when they went back and they laid everything out, It was great. I mean, now I'll say there were still some people that were concerned and that were upset, but we were able to have conversations and we scheduled conversations with everybody who wanted to talk about it, who needed that one-on-one time to absorb it, to understand it. But prior to that, it was, oh my gosh, we're going to be fired simply because of who we are as a person, has nothing to do with our job. And it had absolutely nothing to do with that. So it is that clear communication of helping people to understand, how is this change going to happen? How does it affect me, my job, my team? That is super important. And then we always think about the top down, but from the bottom up, we all have responsibility as well. So when you hear somebody saying something that you know is not true to a group of people that's going to get them all riled up, you could easily say, well, no, I spoke to this person or that person, whoever is in charge, and that is not what's happening. This is what I was told. So it's super important that we deliver the news in the right way to begin with, and then we give everyone agency to be able to address the topic in a way that's real and that's positive.
Yeah, communication is so important in companies, you know, and there's a track record of communication, right? And so,
yes.
When you think about that track record, if they've been great at communicating, all of the people in the organization can rely on what's been said and the actions to follow what's been stated, where other companies, they've communicated, but something else different has happened, right? And
right.
So that trust right. and loyalty inside an organization really depends on how well or well not we're communicating, and is this believable?
Because
that turmoil that's created, if it's not done right, and if they don't have a track record of that, it's hard to have that then be believable, even though it's in writing going out.
That
vantage point, I think you raised an incredible point there on that, that, you know, communication being done the right way, understanding what it means really, and trusting then the organization's going to deliver the way that they said, allows for the organization to continually function properly, you know, and drive the productivity values and all the other things without the worry in the back of the mind, am I going to be let go?
Exactly.
No, that's great. So what can leaders do to be better communicators?
I think that you're a better communicator when you truly understand the pain points of your team. So, I mean, you can communicate the thing, that's fine, but it's not so much, or I won't say it's not so much, it's just as important that how you deliver the message as much as what the message is, you know, and I think you try to answer all of the things that you think are going to come up from your group of people, from your employee base, you know, and so you try to cover all of those bases. And then I think you make yourself open to questions for as many questions as there are for as long as it takes. I think when big changes happen, people have to know that they can ask the questions. They can ask the hard questions. They can, that it's okay to hear, we haven't figured that part out yet. Now, I know that can be frustrating, but at least it's honesty all the way through. So I think that the transparency has to be there. The honesty has to be there. The vulnerability has to be there. And if it's going to hurt some people, if it's going to lay some people off, people are going to lose their jobs and all of those things. The empathy has to be there. Yeah. All of those things are super important when you're delivering news, especially when it's bad news.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and when you think about layoffs and everything else, that's a scary time for any company.
Yeah.
You know, to be in. And it's also something that when you think about it, layoffs taking place doesn't mean that they're not going to grow later. And I think from an employer's responsibility, if you ever go through a layoff, you know, it's almost a responsibility to at least put in the roots for people to find new employment somewhere else, because you may need to re-employ those people later. And if we do the right things by them, well, you know, because we hired them. So if we take the responsibility of having to lay them off, but give them tools to be successful in a new job search, then you may have the opportunity to bring them back, and it doesn't hurt your brand. It supports your brand in the marketplace.
I agree. Companies have to realize that their employees are the biggest ambassadors that they have. You know, they're either gonna go out in the world and say this company is amazing, or they're gonna say this company sucks, right? And I still remember in my years of looking for jobs, I still remember the companies that everybody said sucked. You know, and even now when I see their name, I'm like, oh, I wonder if that company culture has gotten better. And it's been 20 years. So people don't forget those things. And I remember companies that people say are awesome, you know, as well. So they're your biggest ambassador. So if you have to deliver some bad news, you want to do it in a way that that person steps out and says, you know, it was a tough day today, but they did everything they could. Because things do happen. And unfortunately, companies close and things happen where people have to get laid off, but it's all in the way that you do it. And not saying that people still aren't going to be upset about that because you're affecting their livelihood, but there's a way to do it that makes it less painful than I think a lot of these companies in the way that they do it, that makes it extremely painful.
Yeah. One of the things that I always think about in those times, and the other times that are great, everybody's carrying a torch and it
Right.
brings light. And, that light is going to be shined in support of the organization, or that flame will be used to burn it. And we got to make sure and think about how we want people coming in and leaving the organization and how they're choosing to use their torch. Are they lighting a pathway forward? Or are they destroying the pathway that they left in
That's
it?
great. That's great. I love that because, yeah, that's a great analogy.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Risha. And thank you for being on our show today. I can't believe it. We're at the end. But before we go, how can people find you?
They can find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook under Risha Grant. There might be a Risha.Grant, a Risha D. Grant, but I'm out there. I'll be easy to find.
Okay. No, that's good. Well, everybody needs to find Risha and check out her book. Because and Risha, would you share everybody the book title again and where they can find it?
Yes, it is Be Better Than Your BS, and you can find it on Amazon. You can actually find it pretty much anywhere. You can go to Walmart, Target, any of those places, but Amazon's the easiest, so go to Amazon.
It's a bestseller. You got to take advantage of getting it while it's hot. And being part of the change in the movement that Risha's created through her authorship. And so I just want to inspire and invite people to participate in the movement and developing better cultures for tomorrow and developing great leaders. Risha, it's been a pleasure. And thank you for bringing your energy and truth to the conversation. You've reminded us
Thank
that
you for having me.
authenticity, belonging, and personal culture are the foundation of inspired leadership. And when we face change with courage, we don't just adapt, we grow. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You bet.
I had a blast.
I have too. We're going to have to do this again for sure.
Definitely.
And to our audience, thank you for joining us on The Inspired Culture. I'm Eric Himes. Remember, the culture we create starts with the choices we make every day. Until next time, stay inspired.